Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Awesome, awesome. Well, there is so much to talk about on faith. I mean, I was having a hard time, like, where do I want to go with this? Pastor Deborah sent me her notes, and I'm like, and then she tried to tell me how to preach it. I was like, no, mm-mm. You're going to preach it yourself, and I'm going to do what God asked me to do because she has it so shut up in her bones, I would not do a justice of it. So I got alone with the Holy Spirit, and he wanted me to stay on the progression of where we were going. First, we learned, remember with Pastor Sue a few weeks ago, what faith is. Then last week, we learned about how faith comes. And this week, we're going to learn about how faith works. And so we're just taking simple steps to this because I believe that when we understand the word in its depth, that it begins to do something inside of our hearts and we begin to get outside of ourselves and off of our flesh and outside of our ideas and we step into the spirit realm. We step into who God's asked us to be and we put Christ on and we think like him. We move like him. We become the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, the full-time ministers of the gospel. But you cannot do that if you do not understand what the word of God says, what the word of God is teaching, and we have to rightly divide the word and we have to study it out. We have to feed it into our spirit man. I had said last week that, you know, we feed ourselves three healthy snacks, hopefully healthy, you know, I don't know, it all depends, a day, but we feed our spirit man maybe once or twice a week. And that's scary because I don't know about you, but I should be starving by the end of the week for something from God. And so today, do I have a room full of girls that are hungry to hear and to learn and to receive? Amen. Because I believe God has something to teach us today. Some of this may be review for you because you've been in the Word and in the Spirit of God for a long time. Some of this might be brand new to some of you because you've never actually been taught what faith is and how faith comes and how faith works. And you're going to need this because this is something that will change your life. This is something, if you can grab a hold of it, there is nothing that is impossible with God, and you can step into the supernatural realm, and you can step into the supernatural desire from heaven of what God wants from you. I was talking to the girls the other day, and we have our weekly meetings, and I'm doing these devotionals for myself, you know, and then I go and I study other things, but we were talking about heaven and earth, and so many times we here on earth, we think in an earthly way, right? Because we're human, and our bodies are telling us one thing, and the surroundings and our atmosphere are speaking so many different things into our hearts and into our lives. We turn on the news, and today we just got a report that they just approved abortion all the way up to 9 months in New York City, which is despicable and disgusting. And you know, if you know my testimony, I am even more angry about it because I've lived through pain like that, and I believe that God's going to one day use me to be a voice for the child and for the mother who has already made that mistake and has to move on and be healed from that, because God does heal from the broken places. And so there's so much involved. It's so evil. It's so demonic. And so here we are on earth, and we're living this earthly life, and yet God is saying, I need you to become heaven-minded. Because when you stay in an earthly place, you can never reach or obtain what it is I have for you, which are heavenly principles. So let's think backwards. And I want you to say something with me today. It's a confession. And say, I am a child of God. Today, I'm going to think heavenly thoughts. I'm going to learn godly principles. Lord, speak to my heart today. Change me and renew me to be more like you. Amen. God has something for us today. So let's step into some heavenly places. Let's step into some supernatural things. And we're going to learn how this thing called faith works. Now, we're not talking about just our faith in Christ. Absolutely. That is definitely a part of it. But when we release faith on the earth and when the power of God flows through us, then we're going to learn how that works. But sometimes people go, well, I don't understand. I think I have faith, but I'm not sure if I have faith. Maybe I don't. And then do you ever panic about something? Like, am I not doing it right? Is this a ritual? Is this a way that we do things? Let me stop you right there. There is not a ritual. This is not a cult. This is not a strategy. What this is we are going to do things God's way. And God gives us in the Word of God very simple ways to teach us how faith works and how faith comes and how faith operates in our lives. And he's left us many examples out of the Word. And so we're going to reach into the Word today. So get your pens and your note papers out. I want you guys to learn this. I want you to write this stuff down. There are many parts to us as human beings that we at many times we hope for something. Have you ever thought about, oh, I hope that this works out. I hope that this relationship is a good one and not like the past five ones that I've screwed up or these guys haven't been good ones, right? Have you ever said that? Maybe like, I hope my meal turns out the way that it was supposed to when I followed those directions. Have you ever made the cakes that don't stay up, but they just go flat? Yeah, well, that hoping did not work so well. That is not faith, but so many times we as human don't know the difference between hope and faith. And so we're going to start there really quick because faith and hope actually work hand in hand and they work together. But when we do one and call it something else, we are deceiving ourselves of what truly should be happening in our faith walk. And so hope has its place and faith has its place, but they are together and united. And we can be confused at some of this, but really the simple way of doing this, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 12 through 13. I'm going to use the New Living Translation on this one. It says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. A great way to remember what faith and hope are is number one, faith is a now. Faith is a now. That means I'm in faith for it and it's going to happen now. That means that maybe you're not seeing it, but your faith has been released now. That means that I believe that what I am speaking and praying over, that God has activated, that there are things moving, that the enemy is no longer has place, that there's just something that the power of God is moving on my behalf now. Now, hope is for the future. Hope is for those things in the future. So maybe you hope, let's use some examples. I'm hoping and I'm praying that one day I'll be reunited with my grandma and my grandpa in heaven, right? One day I'm hoping and I'm praying for a husband to come into my life, maybe some of you. One day I'm hoping, but when I'm praying and I'm believing for something in faith, then I can say I'm believing now that I am healed by the stripes on the cross. Now the manifestation of that, the power of God is moving on your behalf. We'll talk a little later how that works. Sometimes it happens instantly. Sometimes it happens as a process. The Lord knows what he's doing because in the process, there is lessons and there are things that God is teaching us. You see, hope is what we look to for the future and faith is for the now. Faith receives the promise of God now. That means that I can say, I believe that my children are going to serve the Lord with all of their heart. You may not see it. That's what faith is, that you believe in what you don't see, but you know that God is moving and activated on your behalf. So you're saying, you're speaking faith over that job or over that family member or over your healing or over your circumstances. You say, I'm walking in fear on a daily basis. I don't know how to get rid of this. Well, you know what? You can get in faith over it, and faith triumphs fear. And you can say, in Jesus' name, you foul spirit of fear, I cast you out. You have no place in my heart and in my mind. And you might have to do that time and time and time and time and time again until you get to the point where faith overcomes and where your power of God moves through you and works through you. And I'll tell you something, fear is going to bow down because that spirit cannot live in the presence or the power of God. See, faith is for the now. It is a confident expectation of who God is and that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. That when he says his promises, that I can stand on them because they're the will and they're the way of God. So we, as girls, guess what we got to do? We got to find out what is God's will in our lives. What is God's way in our lives? You can never be steered wrong if you know what his word says about something or a circumstance in your life. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows the reality. Let's just stop there for a second. We live in this world, right, of what we call reality shows. We call ourselves, you know, the housewives. I always joke about that one with people. I'm like, they aren't even housewives. They don't even have children. They're not even making meals. Like, are you kidding me? This is not even a real deal. Come to my house. You'd be really bored. Like, you know, because there's not much thrilling about it. You can't make a whole show on it, right? But that's what the world is calling reality. How about this? Facebook friends. Would they really be your friends? Do you go to coffee? Do you share an intimacy with them? Are you praying for them on a daily basis? Do you know where their world is? And do you know what's happening in their life? You know, that's not a reality. That's an acquaintance. They should call it Facebook acquaintances, right? But faith shows us what is real. How does that happen? Because when I'm in faith, I'm believing for the impossible. I'm believing for the unseen. Yes, but faith brings the unseen into the seen. And it takes you to use your faith in that way. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Remember what we were hoping for in the future? Faith will show you the reality of that. You see how they work hand in hand. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see. People are believing that God is going to do something for them. That is a hope. Faith believes that he is doing it and it is already done for them and it has already been working on their behalf. You see, I can hope that God does something for me, or I can say, Lord, I know this is your will. So in the name of Jesus, I just right now, Lord, I ask that you would move on my behalf, and I believe it is done in the spirit. I believe you're working on my behalf. I know that you're going to cover this situation and you're going to take care of the need. I know that I'm going to put my faith out there, and God, you're going to put the super on my natural and you're going to make it a supernatural situation. And that's what God is going to do on our behalf when we activate our faith, when we step into that. Hope is precious. You know, I don't want to downplay hope. Hope is a part of our lives. Hope is something that we need. It's one of the three that God talks about. And yet, hope is precious, and we all have it in our lives. We hope that one day we will see Jesus, that we will see our family members. But these are all future events, and we need to look for faith with our hope, to link hand in hand together and to take us to a new level of what God has for us. Now that we see the difference between faith and hope, now we can step into how does faith work on our behalf. Number one, you ready? Faith works by love. Galatians 5:6, you go, wait, that is just so simple, Pastor Jess. That's boring. That's it. Well, listen, I would challenge you for a second. Do you really know what love is? I mean, the world is out on this quest for love. Have you seen it? They call everything love, but I would question them and say, actually, that's lust. Actually, that's perversion. Actually, that's deception. You're calling things love that are not love, because the only thing that is love, guess what, is God. God is the perfect, full, and complete picture of what love is. God shows every aspect of love. God has expressed himself in ways that no one else would. Does anyone else say, hey, I'm going to go die on the cross for you, and I'm going to take on your sin and wash away your sin and give my life for you so that you can be free, so you can be clean, and so you can come to the Father boldly to the throne room of God. Does anyone else do that for you? See, that's love. So when we talk about love, we need to really make sure that we're seeing the true perspective of what love is. If faith works by love, that means that I've got to have a deep understanding of who God is, how God loves, what God requires in love, and how God has given love. I love 1 Corinthians 13. It's something I bring my kids through on a daily basis. We constantly go through, what does the Bible say about love? Love is patient, love is kind, love is, you know, all those things. Love does not keep a record of wrong. Oh, don't you love when you talk to somebody and they bring up from something like 6 months ago, like maybe you slipped and you said something you shouldn't have said, and they're like, well, we know not to tell you nothing. And you're like, record of wrong. That's not true love and forgiveness. Like, the reality is we need to understand that when we step into some new places that God's asking us to, that when we step into love and we're choosing to be patient, we're choosing to be kind, we're choosing to be long-suffering, we're choosing to keep no record of wrong. When we step into that, we've already stepped into a better place of receiving faith, of giving faith, of stepping into the power of God, because the supernatural agape power of love works with love. You see, God says in this verse that we're talking about in Galatians, that love that he's talking about, but the faith working through love, the love is faith that does, the love is the agape love, the brotherly love. See, God has a brotherly love for us. God gave everything for you and I. And if God is asking us to step into a realm of faith, remember, faith is heaven's language. It is what activates heaven. It is when God says, "Woo, I can go now because there's a woman full of faith ready for me to do something on her behalf." You see, God is ready to get moving on your behalf, but when you are bitter and when you're in unforgiveness and you have aught against a brother or a sister, or when you want to love in one way but you're not willing to look at other parts of your life in another way, God is saying, don't try and call it faith. And don't say, "I didn't work on your behalf," because these two work hand in hand. And so we've got to check ourselves on the love factor. You go, "Oh, Pastor Jess, why are you dabbling again?" Because so many times we want the result of faith, but we're not willing to look at what it takes to see the end result. We have to go backwards in order to go forward. That means I've got to go look at myself. I've got to go say, "Lord, is my heart in the right place?" I cannot tell you over the last 5 years the challenges of the heart that Pastor Dan and I have been tested by. The things that people have said, the hurts and the pains that the enemy has brought our way. And I look back now and I think, thank you, Lord. Because it was a heart test. Because it was a time where I had to be honest with myself about some things about me. And I had to go and I had to journal it out and I had to pray it out and I had to repent before God and I had to be at the feet of Jesus because I needed to see God work in some supernatural faith ways. But I couldn't do it unless I was linked up in the love of Christ and I was example of who the love of Jesus was. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that if I kept the pain and the hurt. I couldn't do that if I got offended easily. I couldn't do that if somebody would say something foolish to me and I took it on like it was truth. I had to learn to forgive. I had to learn to love. I had to learn to see people through Jesus' eyes and not my eyes. I'm telling you, if you can pray this prayer, it'll free you. "Lord, they anger me and they frustrate me, but God, you see them in a different way. Can you teach me to see them how you see them so that I can love them how you love them and so that the hurt and the offense does not bitter my heart, but I can still step out, walk in love, and step out in faith?" Those are the biggest prayers ever. Because sometimes our natural man wants to go, "No, they don't deserve my love. I made these, you know, boundaries," and we call them boundaries, but really, they're not boundaries anymore. You're building walls. And you're no longer allowing them in. And as you're building your wall, you're no longer allowing God in. Because he can't come into a place of bitterness. He doesn't live there. But when there's a freedom of love and when there's a freedom of who he is in Christ, then faith can arise up out of our hearts because we trust him. Because we love him. Because we know the one that died on the cross and gave everything for us would never hurt us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't leave us. I may not understand all the time why he does or he doesn't do things on my timeline or the way I think it should be done. But I'll tell you something. I know him enough that I can trust him and I can love him. And I know that my whole life can be put into his hands and I can step out in faith for something that seems so impossible. That's the God we serve. And so love and faith, they work together. Love is to be like God. God's word teaches us that God is love and that his faith works. It is the supernatural and the natural working together. We can make all the confessions that we want, girls. I can tell you, I have met people that are like, "Oh, I prayed for like 10 hours. And then they come out and they're still mean. And you're like, "Who are you talking to?" You know, like, I don't know who you've been talking to. You know? So we can make all the confessions, all the prayers that we want. We can quote the Bible day and night. We can fast and we can pray. But if we still won't get anything done, if we are not walking it out in love. The word says that faith works by love, but if we're not walking it out in love, our faith will not work. I love this. C.H. Spurgeon, he is a good man of God. He was an amazing man of God. He wrote and adapted. It's a book. He says, "Our first observation will be this. Faith always produces love. Faith which works by love. When faith has anything to do, she walks to the field with love at her side. The two graces are inseparable, like Mary and Martha. They are sisters and they abide in one house. Faith, like Mary, sits at the feet of Jesus and hears his words. And love diligently goes about the house and rejoices to honor the divine Lord. Faith is the light and love is the heat. And in every beam of grace from the Son of Righteousness, you will find a measure of each. True faith in God cannot exist without love to him, nor sincere love without faith. They are united like Siamese twins. Where you meet one, the other will be present. You see, they work hand in hand. So here we have now seen that faith, hope, and love, they work together, and they all are in need, and there's a place for them for faith to be activated and working in your life. You see, God teaches us out of the Word of God the simple things that sometimes are easy to overlook. And you may say to yourself, why are things not working out in my life? Why aren't things playing out the way they should? I would say to you, go and pray it out. Find out where maybe you have not been in love with someone, or maybe you have had an anger issue, or maybe there's some things that you're avoiding because you really know that God's going to go ahead and talk to you about it, and you don't want to face it. But it might be time, girls, to start facing it. Because if we need to see the supernatural, we need some amazing women of God that can walk this earth, that can be shouting some new things and not let the enemy have such a loud voice in our nation and in our world and in the hearts of people. But we need women that can be ambassadors and voices for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with our hearts clear and our minds ready to receive, and the wisdom of God will pour out and faith will be produced in our nation again. You see, we've become too silent, guys. The church has been too silent. We've been afraid to offend. We've been afraid to say things against the things that are popular in our families and in our world and in our neighborhoods. But the reality is that God is very cut and dry. He's clear. It was funny. I was just telling you guys last week that people are going to make churches for themselves, that the churches that have itching ears and hearts to receive that stuff, and they're going to make things up. And I just heard about a church that just said that we believe that it is God's will and it is a place for God that if we ordain our ministers in a homosexual relationship, and they went on and on and on, and they blended God's word and their sin in one, and it made my spirit man just upside down, because I thought to myself, what kind of man of God are you? I would like to have a real conversation about what the word says, because if you're seeing it that way, you're not seeing it through the eyes of faith. You're not seeing it through the eyes of love. You're calling it love. You're saying that's love. That's not love. Love is honest enough to tell the truth. Love is honest enough to keep people out of hell. Love is honest enough to say that our God died on a cross and he gave everything so that we can have the freedom to step out of sin and into the love and the fullness of who Christ is, and leave our old man behind and step into what God has asked us to do. We're not asking anyone to step out of sin because we haven't. I was the biggest rank sinner you could possibly think of. I was the worst person in this world that you, I have some messed up stories, but I serve an awesome, amazing, full of life God who redeemed me back. And when I put my faith to my path, I believe that God healed me and restored me, and I was able to recover and to keep moving forward. But not until you trust the word of God at its word, and not at what someone is teaching or saying that might be fables. But that's where faith comes in and goes, I'm going to step out in faith for this person. Now listen, I'm not saying go be those crazy people that hurt people and say dumb things, and you don't need to get in arguments online. Those are such foolish, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't even go there. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that you speak wisely, and that there's a presence you carry, and it's a presence of holiness, girls. You will carry the holiness of who God is when you step out in faith, when you walk in love, when you do what it is that God has asked you to do. In 1 Corinthians 13:2, I love this verse. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, that means this person knew what they were doing. They were speaking the word and the oracles of God and understand the mysteries of and the knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. You know that verse where it says, if you have faith, you can remove, speak to the mountain, it shall be removed. But I have not love, I am nothing. It takes out your faith walk if you're not walking in love. They work hand in hand. They need each other to have the power of God working behind them. 1 John 4:19, we do this because he first loved us. So girls, first of all, faith works by love. Now that we've learned that, the next part, faith works by believing. So many times we believe that we receive, but we can't believe it if we haven't even begun the process of believing. You can't tell me to keep running, because guess what? I'm not a runner. I never started running in the first place. So I would have to start running in order for you to tell me to keep running, right? Forrest Gump, he ran. They just run, Forrest, run. I am not that person, right? And so if you're telling someone just keep believing, they can't believe if they've never started to believe in the first place. And so then how do I begin to start believing, Pastor Jess? How does that work then? I think I'm believing, but now I'm realizing I was just hoping and I'm not in belief. I'm not putting my faith out there. How do I do this? The belief is brought through an accumulation of knowledge. Now listen to me, not knowledge according to what the world says. You can't receive your faith from what some person with no Holy Spirit behind them and nothing happening in their life is going to say, right now I am under the anointing of what God is asking me to preach and minister. I'm speaking what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear right now. Okay? When the men and the women wrote the word of God, when the word was written, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is his word. These are his thoughts. These are his stories. He is not a man that would lie. He doesn't go against his word. This is the truth. It is all truth or it's not truth to you. You either make it yours or you don't. And so when we say that we accumulate knowledge, that means I've got to get this in my spirit, man. I've got to find out what Jesus is talking about. I got to find out what God's will is for my life and what his word says, because this is my life. This is my breath. This is what I drink on. This is what I eat on. This is what fills my spirit man up. And when I step into that understanding of who Christ is, then all of a sudden I can start believing some new things. Some of you are going to have to unteach yourself some things in order to teach yourself some new things. You've been taught maybe that healing is not for today. Well, I'm here to tell you that is not a true doctrine. God's word says that he has died on that cross for your sins and for your healing, and that it is a done deal, and that God wants you healed. He never said in the word, let's pray if it's God's will, you're healed. Let me tell you something. It is God's will that you are healed. So we pray and we go according to what the word of God says, not what man has twisted it to be to make people feel better about themselves or why God did or didn't do something. That is not what this is about, because everybody's own journey is their own journey with God, their own faith walk with God. Why did it happen for one and not another? I don't know. But what I do know is God is just. And God died on that cross so all could be healed. Not some, not a few, but so all could be healed. He took on sickness and infirmity, and now we can step out in faith and we can believe God for the impossible, and we can see God do some new things in our lives. You see, we're going to have to unteach ourselves some things in order to see the power and the supernatural working on our lives. God wants us to be reintroduced to who he is. We have to accumulate knowledge on these things. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says, this will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So many times, and in our messages, sometimes we just don't have the time to say all the scriptures. But I'll tell you, I have like 10 scriptures for every point, because I'm not going to go preach something if I can't find it more than three times in the word of God. And so when someone is telling you something and you're stepping out in faith and it's opposite of what you've read in the word for yourself, you can go, thank you for your opinion. Thank you for what it is you're saying. But I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to believe what God's word says. God's word says that I am more than enough and that I'm a conqueror in Christ Jesus. God's word says that I'm healed by the stripes on the cross and that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That if I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You see, you can begin to get the word into you so that when hell wants to come and steal it from you, it pours up out of you and you can fight the enemy off and you can keep moving forward in faith. That's what faith does. Faith is not mean. It is not harsh. It doesn't deny what is really happening in your body. Like I said last week, it doesn't deny that you're not seeing the result right away, but faith is speaking over it, and it's speaking the promises and the will of God on what it is that you're dealing with in your life. That means that we're not these foolish girls walking around going, you know, with the big tumors on the side of our neck. No, God's going to heal that, and I'm not going to get help for it because he's going to heal it. No, go see a doctor. See what God's going to do, because maybe God's going to send a doctor to help you get healed. You say, oh, I don't want you to be these foolish people that, you know, casting demons out of doorknobs and calling everything the devil. Listen, there is a devil working and he is powerful, but he is not as powerful as you. And he is not powerful like the greater one who lives on the inside of you. So when we step into who we are, we can step into who he is. And that's where our belief system begins to get built up. You cannot steal the word out of my heart, no matter how much you tried. You can walk in here and you can tell me all the things that the world is saying about who God says this is and who God says that is and what God says, you know, and their twisted ways of thinking and using scripture. But I'll tell you something, you can't twist it and you can't move me, because I do know what God's word says. I've spent time in his word. I daily feed my spirit, man. I'm in conversation with the Holy Spirit and he's teaching me the ins and the outs of how he needs me to live and what he's asking me to do and what my assignment is here on earth. Girls, he is not a respecter of persons. The same thing can happen for you if it's not already happening. All you have to do is step into your time with him. You have to step into accumulating some knowledge. You have to go after the word of God. You have to go after the hunger and the passion of who he is and what he is, because everything else will be louder and bigger and the word will become diminished in your life and you'll wonder what happened. You'll wonder what happened, and I'll tell you what happens. You allowed God's word to take a back seat and you allowed everything else to be a bigger voice in your life. I've seen it so many times. The word of God is what we learn and we feed on and that we talk about in our everyday. Girls, you should let the word pour out of you so much that it annoys people. You just should. I've had people say, well, you just say scripture way too much. And I'm like, I didn't even know I do that. Like, it is just so a response of mine, because I had to talk to someone just recently and I realized, like, it's a response of mine. I didn't even realize that that's my response. And I questioned myself later. You know, when you're alone, you kind of think things through and you're like, why do I do that so much? And it's because I came out of such a harsh, nasty, sinful world that I had to overcome it somehow. And I had to overcome it by the word of my testimony and by stepping out in faith and starting new patterns in my life. And so I had to overcome by the word and the word of my testimony. And then I believed the word and it became a truth in my life. It became a pillar in my heart. And it's now something that no one can take from me. I'm sure my kids are like, seriously, mom, all right, you know, like my kids will tell me things and I'm like, nope, you're wrong, because it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you just said that. And like, gosh, you know, so I know it's probably hard growing up with me, but the reality is if I can get it into their hearts, if they ever try to walk away from the word, it is going to be something they can't walk too far from, because a word does not turn void in the heart of man. God's word is powerful, and it's where the faith is produced. That's where your belief system begins to be anchored. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible for he to please him. For he who comes to God must think. Is that what it's saying? Is it for us to just think? Is it for us to maybe hope? No. It's for us to believe that he is. And right there's a problem with a lot of Christians. So many times we allow God to believe. We think God is God in church. We think God is God when we need something and a tragedy hits our lives, then we run back to God, right? But how about him being just he is on our everyday? That he is who he says he is, that he is the great I am. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is my Sikkenu. He is my provider. He is my comforter. He is the one who sustains me and he comforts me. He is. I don't know one person that can be all that he is except for Jesus. I love my husband with all of my heart, and boy, is he a great man of God. But he isn't everything. He is just a man who loves the Lord with all of his heart, who I adore with all of my heart. But I'll tell you, he's not God, and he will never be my God. I will not be codependent on a person here on earth. Because God is always my provider. God is always my comforter. God is always my healer. God is always my source of strength. Now, I love, respect, and cherish, and we do life together. But he would say the same thing about me. Because that is how our relationship works. That a three-chord strand cannot be broken. And we would not be Dan and Jess unless we had Jesus right in the middle of that. And you see, that is the healthy way of thinking about God, that He is my all in all. And I believe that with everything on the inside of me. So when things start going astray, when relationships aren't what they should be, when people say things they shouldn't say to you, when you get a bad report from the doctor, when your kids are doing something crazy, I don't know, when you get that bill that you're going, are you kidding me? You can go, but He is. He's my provider. He's the one that's going to love these kids back to life. He's the one that's going to give me grace to pray things in that I never thought to pray. He's going to give me a grace to love beyond my capacity because my capacity is only so much. You see, that's where God steps in because He is. The rest of the verse says, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Some people go, well, He's a rewarder to some and not to others. God blesses one more than another. No, 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 no. God freely gave of Himself for all of us. We all got the best gift in the whole world, and His name was Jesus. And God is a giver. And if you say the opposite of Him being a rewarder, then you believe that God is not a giver. But God pours everything out so that we can have life. And this is who He is. He says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If I am praying His will be, then I have to believe it. You see, I can say, Lord, let Your will be in my life and show me and reveal to me. But I have to believe that when the will of God comes to my heart and He gives me a direction on a path in life, that I'm going to pray that in and it's going to be a done deal. Because He is. Not because it looks like what it should or because the circumstances are all lined up, especially for all of you people that have to have a plan and work a plan and make the plan. The plan has to work out. Listen, sometimes God laughs at your plan. And He says, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to change it out. I'm going to mess you all up because you can't rely on what you can control. You can only rely on me because I am He and I am the ultimate controller of your life. You see, God has to have the final say in what it is we are believing for Him. It's God's will for our family to serve Him. It's God's will for your marriage to live and not die. It's God's will for you to be healed. Listen to this one. I know, oh my goodness, the prosperity message is so bad. It is God's will for you to prosper. What? Oh, that's easy for you to say. No. Are you a tither? God gives you a plan. You tithe, you give Him the 10%, He blesses the 90%. There's a plan in the Word of God for this. I can't afford not to be a tither. Let me tell you why. Because when that bill comes in and I'm going, first of all, I go, but God, He's going to somehow pay this thing. I don't know how, but He is. And I'll tell you time after time after time again, I have put it back into the hands of the Almighty, and those bills have never not been paid because I've done my part as a tither. You see, God loves us. He gives us plans and purposes. He wants us to prosper. He doesn't want you to live this broke down life. He doesn't want you to live this angry, frustrated, intense life. Listen, girls, if you're living in chaos and confusion, there are some demonic things going on in your world. And you need to begin to start cleaning that up and asking God to show you how to begin cleaning and clearing some of the atmosphere around you. That may be people. That may be TV shows that you're watching that are bringing in some demonic things into your heart and into your mind. Might be bringing in a spirit of fear. That might be that you need to go and examine what materials are you reading. You're reading that 50 Shades of crap. Like, I'm telling you, it's stirring you up. It's taking you to places you shouldn't go. It's teasing your body because you are alive and you are a sexual being. He made you that way. But He has a plan for those things. And when you don't do it His way, then you've allowed the enemy in to do it His way in your life. You see, we have to believe that God is and that He is a rewarder and that He wants these things for us. So how does faith work? Number one, by love. Number two, by believing God that He is. Number three, faith also works and the power of God is released. We're going to get into some scripture on this one. We're going to read a story in Mark 11. So if you have your word, let's go there, Mark 11. I love this story. I've always thought about what would it be like to be there and watch this happen. Mark 11, Jesus and His disciples. They are on the road and they are traveling, and he comes up to a fig tree. It says, now the next day, Mark 11, 12, He had come out from Bethany, and He was hungry. See, Jesus was human. He was hungry. When He came on earth, He had to eat just like we ate. And He was hungry. And seeing afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat from this tree ever again." And his disciples heard it. Jesus then walks, they continue their journey on. He cleanses the temple out. I mean, he was dealing with some stuff that day. You know, we think of Jesus as this kind, loving father. But that day he was like, if this tree ain't producing, you don't get to live. And he went into the temple and he's like, if you guys are making a mockery of my temple, and he like whips the, you know, the money changers, and he gets rid of the sin and the things that are going on. You see, God ain't playing games with us either, girls. He's not this wimpy God that's just so loving. Well, his love sometimes is going to have to spank us a little, and it's going to have to put us back in our place. And he expects some things from us. I know that I have children in my home. And when I am gone and I come home to a crazy, dirty house, do you know what I do? I get angry, right? Because why? It's out of order. And so here's God, and he is saying, these things are out of order. And it doesn't get to stay this way. We've got to fix this. And so when my kids, when I come home and the kids clean the house, guess what happens? They pick up after themselves. I reward them. They get a reward. They're blessed kids that night, right? They get ice cream. They get whatever, right? Mom loves them. But when I come in and that house is dirty, I'm like, what are you doing? Turn off your video games. How come you haven't put this away? Since when do we just eat on my couch? I told you this is not where we eat. And how much laundry have you guys been doing? Yes, Pastor Jess is normal, okay? I yell at my children. And here's God, and he's just been on this journey of like taking care of business. And they come back to this tree, and as they're walking by the tree, can you imagine being the disciples? Wouldn't you be like, hey, I wonder where that tree is. I wonder if anything happened to it. You know, wouldn't you be looking out for that tree? Like, I wonder what it looks like now. Because he said it'll never produce figs again. And so here they go in Mark 11:20-24, and it says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Have faith is Jesus' response to him. What? How does that make any sense? Right? But then he goes into, for assuredly I say to you, he's going to do a teaching moment right now, just like Jesus would. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says, it will be done for him, and he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and that you will have them. You see, the power of God, he spoke over that tree, and that tree withered up. But it didn't wither up right away in front of them, right? Okay? So the power of God was released, and God, you saw what happened on that fig tree, but it took time. It took time for the power of God to get into those roots and then to move up that tree, and then that tree withered up, and God's process was different. Now let's look at another circumstance, okay? Go with me somewhere else. We're going to go here in Mark 3:1. So we saw the process of the power of God. Now 3:1. And it says, he entered the synagogue again, and a man there who was with a withered hand. And so he watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath or that he might accuse him. I've preached about this before. You don't heal on the Sabbath. That was something that was like a no-no to the Pharisees. We were upset about it. And he said to the man with the withered hand, step forward. And then he said to him, it is lawful on the Sabbath to do good and not evil, to save life and to kill. But they kept silence. And when he looked around at them, he was angry and he was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. And he said to them, stretch out your hand. So he said to the withered man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and the hand was restored as whole as in order. Right away, they saw the power of God hit that man's hand, and his hand became unwithered. Right away. So when we step out in faith and the power of God is released, does that mean that when we say to that mountain, now let's say our mountain, what does your mountain represent? That's the point of that scripture. He's not saying you can move a whole mountain. He's saying, what is your mountain? What are you praying and what are you believing me for? And then he does it in many ways. There's many ways of healing, for instance. You're going to see Cheryl come next week, and she's going to talk about this. There's a laying on of hands when people get healed. Some people get healed instantly, and some people, it's a process for them. Sometimes people even pray over prayer cloths and they go bring it to a hospital room. And the power of God is dispersed through that because it's a faith step. It's not woo-woo weird. It's faith working and operating. What can you believe God for? And what do you doubt God in? You see, what realm are you putting him in? It took that tree some time. It had to go through the process of dying. But that withered hand, God just healed him. The lady with the issue of blood, who touched me? Power went out from me. He knew. Faith activates the power of God. Faith releases the power of God on your behalf. Faith steps into the invisible and makes the present real and takes the invisible, the impossible, and steps it into the possible and to the supernatural. What mountain are you staring at that seems too big that you need to start saying some faith prayers over? Some things that you need to believe beyond yourself. And when you don't see it happen right away, you begin to step out. I know, God, you're working on this. I know you are. I thank you, Lord, for what it is you're doing in their lives. I thank you, God, that you are stirring their hearts, that you're arresting their attention. God, that you're sending laborers across their path that they would know the salvation of who Jesus is. You see, you don't give up on your faith because you don't see it right away. It doesn't mean God isn't God because it didn't happen right away. Brother Hagin was talking about, like, in all of his ministry, when he would see the manifested miracles, he saw a few right away. It was mostly afterwards, because once the power of God is released, it's what are you going to do with it? Are you going to stay in faith that you received what it is that God gave to you, and that when he died on that cross, it was already a done deal? And are you going to have that good fight of faith? You're not going to let the devil take what God has released upon you and what God is working through you. You see, what do you believe? Because when you stand in doubt, and when you stand when, I don't know if it really happened, well then, you right there are no longer believing, but you're in doubt. God can do so much with belief. Belief is a powerful thing. And the power of God wants to be released when we do that. Let's look at what God is saying about speaking to mountains. In Hebrews 10:23, he says, let us hold fast. I love that when we were talking about the mountains in Hebrews, he was talking about this. It ministered to my heart last night as I was studying. It said, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. I'll tell you something. I can't tell you many times that things have happened right away for me. It's almost like God needs me to go down the journey of faith, because then my spirit man gets a little stronger every time I got to pray that faith prayer again over something that I know he already can do right away. When I don't see it, am I going to doubt it, or am I going to step back into faith and say, God, you know that you can do this, and God, I believe you can do this, and I trust you in this, and I believe that you're working on my behalf. And so when the fear wants to come in and take away my faith, I say no to the fear, and I say yes to who he is, and I step back into what it is that the power of God needs to be released in my life. You see, this is a good fight of faith. Sometimes people are like, I'm sick of fighting. I'm tired of believing for things. It's been 10 years, and I haven't seen the result yet. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that God isn't God and that he's not doing something in the process of this. And that your testimony, let me tell you something, is more powerful than no testimony. And that maybe this is going to be something that takes you to another level and brings you to a new place, so that one day you can minister to someone else and take you to down a road of faith and bring them and show them, I came out of this, you can do this too. My kids came out of this, your kids will come out of this too. And you see, God's power should not be questioned. It should be trusted. It should be believed. It should be let go. It should be released on our behalf. So when we speak to that mountain, we hold up fast to the profession of our faith. In doing this, the power of God is administered to our healing and to our circumstances. The supernatural works on our natural, and it becomes a supernatural faith. That's how faith works, girls. Faith works by love. Faith works by believing. And faith works through the power of God on our behalf when we step out in faith. Did you get something from the Word of God today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.